This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brother Yusha emails from a city in Illinois in which there's only one masjid recently built, and he says that they do not have a full-time imam, and so the khutbas are given by selected people within the community. However, they have disagreed amongst themselves regarding the language of the khutbah. Some people are quoting, and then he mentions the name of a famous scholar who has a detailed treatise in English stating all of the evidences that it is obligatory to do the khutbah in the Arabic language. And this scholar, I'm not going to mention names, has said that this is the majority opinion of the Islamic schools of law, and he says that it must be done. However, he allows a lecture in the local language that shall not be the khutbah, and then the khutbah be given in Arabic, and then the salah in Arabic. The brother Yusha says, other people are saying that the khutbah should be given in English so that most of the people can understand. So can I comment on this controversy?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
So this controversy, again, this goes back to early Islam, and there is a famous treatise written that you have referenced. I don't like mentioning names for no reason, so this is a scholar that I respect and admire immensely, and he definitely is one of the greatest scholars of Islam alive today, most revered and respected, and he has large followings, especially in the Hanafi or Deobandi school tradition, and he has written a treatise about the fact that Jumu'ah, the khutbah of Jumu'ah, must be done in the Arabic language. And I have read this treatise multiple times actually, and it is a very scholarly, very erudite, evidence-packed treatise. It is available in Urdu, English, and Arabic. And this treatise is the standard because of which so many of our brethren of that particular strand, they insist that the khutbah must be given in Arabic, even though they allow a bayan, they call it, before that in Urdu or in English, and so the people can listen to that, but the khutbah must be given in Arabic. And the main evidence, they have two main evidences, I'll summarize. Their main evidence, number one, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always gave the khutbah in Arabic, and he was the one who said, pray as you have seen me pray. So because he always gave it in Arabic, we must also give it in Arabic. And number two, they say this is the majority opinion of our earlier scholars. And they have a long list of scholars, and this is many of the pages of this treatise are about Sheikh so-and-so says this, and Imam so-and-so, and lots of ulama of the past, you know, beginning from the second century all the way up until our times, lots of ulama have indeed said that the khutbah should be given in the Arabic language. And this esteemed scholar, who is one of the primary references of the Hanafi school, he also claims that the Hanafi school has been misunderstood, and that the Hanafi school has always said that Arabic is the default for the khutbah, and it is not allowed in any other language. Okay, so this is what this esteemed sheikh has said. So the fact of the matter is that the controversy over khutbah and the language of the khutbah really goes back to all of the four Sunni schools of law, and it is true, factually, it is true that the majority of ulama did say that in cases where even one person can speak Arabic, that the khutbah must be given in Arabic. This is a majority opinion. In fact, so much so that the majority of the Malikis and the Hanbalis said that even if none of them understand Arabic, the imam can just read something incomprehensible in Arabic to him and whatnot, and that is the default that it should be done. A second opinion says that if everybody in the audience is non-Arab, they don't understand Arabic, if everybody, not a small minority or a vast majority, if everybody in the audience does not understand Arabic, then in this case, the khutbah can be given in non-Arabic, in any language other than Arabic. And this is the default position of the Shafi'i school, and it is also some of the Hanbali scholars of the past. And the third opinion is that it is mustahab to give it in Arabic, but not a condition. And if the khatib wants to give it in any other language, then he may do so. And this is allegedly the position of Abu Hanifa himself and some of the Shafi'i schools. Now, our esteemed scholar of the Hanafi madhab says Imam Abu Hanifa has been misunderstood, and that is his right to say he has been misunderstood. A factual point here, lots of ulama have understood this from Abu Hanifa. So if our great scholar wants to say that all of these ulama have misunderstood, that is his right, but you should be aware that when you even read An-Nawawi's books and other scholars and the people who write compendiums of fiqh, even modern compendiums of fiqh, the way they have understood Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala is actually pretty clear, and they feel that Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala did allow the khutbah in any language. So that's their position, and again, even what Abu Hanifa, how what he said can be interpreted in different ways. Nonetheless, the default position of the majority of schools is that it should be given in Arabic. This is no doubt. That's a factual statement. However, is the majority position always the best one? Is the majority position always the better one to follow? And this is where, if you have listened to my Q&A throughout all of these, you know, hundreds of Q&As that I've done, this is where I've always been bringing up this idea of, I mean, the term, a lot of people get very concerned when they hear it, but in reality, if anybody listens to my talk, there is nothing to be concerned about. When I say reform in understanding fiqh in our times, right? I've used this phrase multiple times. Perhaps there is an intentional shock and not intended. However, those people who either want to create controversy or don't understand, they read way too much in. When I talk about rethinking through fiqh, this is exactly what I'm talking about. These types of issues where there is no explicit commandment in the Quran and Sunnah. So the fact that, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it in Arabic throughout his life, I mean, that's factually true. But just because he sallallahu alaihi wasallam did something throughout his entire life in a certain way, it does not make it obligatory and binding on us, especially if he did it because it was the culture of his time frame. What if somebody said the only reason he did it was because that was his language, he was born into it, and the people spoke Arabic? And by the way, it is also factually true to state that for the bulk of Islamic history, the majority of the Ummah understood Arabic. They could have been bilingual, trilingual, but they understood Arabic as a default. So if somebody were to say that the Prophet ﷺ did not command us give the khutbah in Arabic, and he himself said Islam will spread east to west, he himself said, I saw this whole world rolled up in front of me and Islam spread to every corner. He told us that Islam would reach the Roman Empire and other empires. He told us this. But he never said that make sure the khutbahs will remain in Arabic. What if somebody were to say that to derive that it is obligatory to give the khutbah in Arabic is a huge derivation? The max that can be said, it is mustahab and it is the default language. I agree. But to make it binding such that you will now say to a group of people who do not understand Arabic and they're coming to the masjid one time of the week, that's the only time they come to the masjid, and you will say to this community that, I'm sorry, but because our classical ulama said, a majority of them by the way, not even all, that it should be in Arabic, then we will give it in Arabic. We will say, this is what I'm thinking about when I'm saying we need to rethink through, just because a large group said it, we have to look at our context and look at our situation. What is the goal of the khutbah? Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, Ya Uluddin Amanu, when the call for Jumu'ah is given, leave buying and selling and come and listen to the remembrance of Allah. The remembrance of Allah is not in any one language. It is in the language that they understand. As Allah says in the Quran, we have not sent any prophet except that he speaks the language of his people. We have not sent any prophet except that he speaks the language of his people. So, those who are following in the footsteps of the prophets, that's every khatib and every Shaykh and every alim following in the footsteps, they should follow that verse in the Quran as well, that they speak to the people in their own language. And by the way, here is the irony. And again, I always preach tolerance and respect, and I respect the position that it should be given only in Arabic. But I gently, without any attempt, a'udhu billah, to mock or ridicule, push back and I say, You have said that you want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ by keeping it in Arabic. Okay. But you have also instituted two khutbahs. You might not call it a khutbah, you can call it a bayan. But in reality, there are two khutbahs taking place, separate and distinct. You have the bayan in the local language, and then you have the khutbah in Arabic. Where is following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ there? He did not do so. In fact, one can point out that there is an authentic hadith in Abu Dawood in which our Prophet ﷺ forbade gathering in the masjid for any communal activity before Jumu'ah. You may gather individually, pray salah. There should be no communal activity of halaqat and knowledge and whatnot. It should not be done before the khutbah. Our scholars say, because we want to concentrate on the khutbah, therefore, don't have something before the khutbah. This is a hadith. Do not have halaqa before Jumu'ah, meaning don't have, you know, circles of knowledge and whatnot and maw'idah before the khutbah, because attention span is limited. So if you're going to give a 30-minute lecture before the khutbah, then you're going to have the khutbah. Nobody's going to pay attention to the khutbah. But see, our brethren who want to be strict on the sunnah, very literal, in order to be strict, they had to be non-strict. They had to institute something that goes against the sunnah and actually contradicts an explicit hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood. And this shows us that really it doesn't make any sense. With utmost respect, I'm not trying to be dismissive here, but to be so literalist in this regard that just because a majority said it, no, even if a majority said it, times were different, places were different. We now have a crisis going on. People are barely praying. They're barely coming to the masjid. They come only for Jumu'ah. Some of them don't even come for Jumu'ah. They're going to come for that 15, 20 minutes. The only time they have to be educated. And because you want to stick with tradition, and that tradition is man-made. Allah did not say the khutbah must be in Jumu'ah. The Prophet did not say it must be in Jumu'ah. It is something they have derived. That derivation was contested from day one. Earlier scholars, some of them said the khutbah can be in any language. And that's the position that I'm advocating as well. So when I say we need to rethink through books of fiqh, this is exactly what I mean. We are not bound to the opinions of earlier people just because they said them. We live in different times and places. And as I have said many times, we find an entire spectrum of people in our times. Some of them are ultra literal and sticking to what their schools taught them, and I respect them, and I say that I understand their concern, but that's not going to help Islam. Sometimes it will make Islam dogmatic and fiqh will become dogmatic. Others, on the flip opposite, the far left, they want to rethink through everything, and these are the progressive movement of Islam. They don't have any attachment to the tradition. They don't really care about the sunnah very much. That is also a destruction of Islam. I have always said that myself, I am with the middle group of scholars, the wasalti type of scholars, that they respect the tradition immensely, but they are not blind to the realities of the world we live in. And they contextualize and they discern and they think more deeply and they say, okay, why did our previous scholar say this? Was it something Allah and His Messenger said? Or was it for reasons that we can now rethink through? And when it comes to the language of the khutbah, I think it is obvious that the Quran and Sunnah does not restrict the language of the khutbah. And this is exactly what the vast majority of that type of scholarly community has said. The Majma' al-Fiqh, the Majma' al-Fiqhi, which is the Majma' that I quote the most often, which is following the Rabit al-Alam al-Islami, one of the largest bodies of Muslims in the world, that they gave their fatwa in their fifth annual meeting. This is back in the early 80s, many 35 years ago or something, one of the first meetings that they had. They said that the khutbah of Eid and the khutbah of Jumu'ah in the lands in which people do not speak Arabic may be given in their local languages. It is not necessary that the khutbah be given in the Arabic language. It is not necessary that it be given. Rather, it should be given in whatever will facilitate them learning Islam. It should facilitate their learning of Islam. And even the translation of the Quran may be said during the khutbah in their local language, but of course the Quran should be recited in Arabic only. So, and this is their fatwa, that even when Quran and Hadith is quoted in the khutbah, it's not obligatory, they're saying, to mention it in Arabic. It can be done in any language, but they said that when you recite the Quran, that it must be in the Arabic language. So this is the fatwa from Al-Majma' Al-Fiqhi. And also the Hay'at Kibar Kibar Ulama, which is the Fatwa Council of Saudi Arabia, which is generally on the stricter side in most issues. In this issue, they said there is no evidence from the Quran and Sunnah to restrict the language of the khutbah, and it can be given in any language that will be the most benefit to the people. The same goes for the Egyptian Council and the Jordanian Council. So basically, the default of the majority of Muslim councils of the world, they have said that the khutbah can be given in any language. It is really primarily our Hanafi brethren of today. And of course, this is the irony, and I'm not a part of that movement, so I'm not qualified to speak too much, but I will say that it is obvious to an outsider that the earlier Hanafis were different than the modern ones in our homelands, and there's marked differences in many fatawa, and many of the earlier Hanafis would allow certain things that later ones do not allow. And this one seems to be the case, that Imam Abu Hanifa, and Allah knows best, it seems that he did allow khutbah in any language, but he said it is better to give it in Arabic. But later Ahnaf, they said it must be given in Arabic, and this includes some of the students of Abu Hanifa. Nonetheless, even if that is the Hanafi school, it is one school, and the other schools are more open in this regard. And this is what I mean when I say we need to rethink through fiqh in our times. We need to reform the books of fiqh, not the Allah's sharia. We cannot change Allah's sharia, but it is not Allah's sharia that the khutbah must be given in Arabic. This is something that later scholars have derived, and therefore, dear brother Yusha, who asked this question, I say that it is my humble opinion, which is the opinion of the majority of fiqh councils. In fact, dare I say, I'm not aware of any global fiqh council. I repeat, I'm not aware of any global fiqh council. When I say global, I mean composed of ulama from multiple countries who have given a fatwa that is anything different than what I have said, which is the khutbah should be given in the language that is of maximum benefit. And therefore, here in North America, perhaps 10% understand Arabic, 15% understand Arabic, whereas pretty much 99%, if not 100% in some communities, understand the English language. So we should give the khutbah in the language that people will understand. And this means that it is completely allowed to give the khutbah in the English language. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And with that, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will stop here for today and continue next week. Until then, Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أما استحييت تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا